May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, our hearts, be acceptable in your sight. Amen. I have to say I'm completely mixed up as to whether my mic is on or off and whether it needs to be on or off. At the moment, I'm happy. If there's a problem, let me know. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Paul's great declaration from Ephesians this morning and the call to worship for this service of confirmation. A celebration of all we have in common as members of Christ's body, the church. It is wonderful to be able that we're able to gather today for this service of confirmation. Jessica, Elizabeth, Charles, Harriet, Anna, and Winnie, all coming to be confirmed. And we can gather and celebrate a gift none of us take for granted now, as well as, of course, the people watching on live stream. Welcome. Confirmation, at its heart, is publicly saying yes to the call of the gospel, the good news, and so yes to believing in Jesus as the risen Lord. That's the good news. Yes to his call on your life. Yes, in other words, to the promises made on your behalf at your baptism. The promises, I turn to Christ, I repent of my sin. That is, I reject selfish living and all that is false and unjust. I renounce Satan and all evil. Yes, to loving God and your neighbour as yourself. And today, the lectionary has offered up three profound passages for reflection as you make these promises. As you say, yes, I want to belong to the church. I want to be an ambassador for Christ. Let me come first to our Old Testament reading. If we want a graphic example of what it means to live selfishly, a graphic example of lies, falsehoods, injustice, evil. A graphic example of what it means to be confronted with the truth of that. Here it is in the account of the prophet Nathan confronting King David. Chapter 12, verse 1, we seem to jump over it in the order of service, says, but the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Literally, but the thing that David had done was evil in the eyes of the Lord. For those of you not familiar with the story, David, king of Israel, has committed adultery with a woman called Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. When Bathsheba becomes pregnant, plan A is to get Uriah home from battle to sleep with his wife. Plan B, cover Uriah's murder up as collateral damage in battle. Uriah's death, the cost of war rather than the price of David's cover-up. A necessary evil rather than an evil he chose. Again, literally verse 25 there, that first verse, speaking to the messenger, David says, do not let this matter be evil in your eyes. David thinks he's got away with it. Bathsheba has become his wife and he's even managed to rewrite history. So the Lord sent Nathan to David with a parable, an allegory. And the moment of truth comes when Nathan said to David, you are the man. And in the verses that follow, we see not only that sin affects the one who has sinned, not only that sin, living selfishly, falsehood, deceit, injustice. Not only that sin affects other people, but how sin affects God. God is saying to David, look at all I've done for you. Look at all I've given you. When David despised the word of the Lord, when David did what was evil in God's eyes, it was like David threw everything God had done for him back in God's face. David despised God. God judges David, the sword will never depart from his house. And verses 11 to 12, what David did to Uriah in secret, God will have someone from David's own house do to David so everyone can see. Not arbitrary, God's judgment is really David living with the consequences of what he's done. His sons will take their cue from their father. Private life, what you do in private, what you do in public, ultimately can't be separated. Integrity is not something that can be separated off. But God also forgives David, and that's what I want you to hear today. God forgives David. Why? Because David didn't try and justify himself. He didn't try to excuse his guilt. He didn't try to blame someone else. David admitted the truth when he says to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Psalm 51, which we heard beautifully sung this morning, is understood to be David saying this, expanding on this in more detail. But here we have the heart of the matter. He had sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, now the Lord has put away your sin, you shall not die. It's so easy to deceive ourselves, to forget that whatever we can hide from others, we can hide from God. To think that if we get away with something that makes it all right, that if we give a wrong action another label, it won't be so bad. Who are we kidding? God sees, and God knows what is evil. It's so easy to see the sin of other people, to get caught up in condemnation and passing judgment. Who are we kidding? We pass judgment on ourselves. And more than that, we throw everything God has done for us, everything God has given us, back in God's faith. The only way forward is the truth. I have sinned. I have sinned against the Lord. It's not about wallowing in it, but it's not about drawing a veil over it. It's about seeing yourself in the light of truth and so opening yourself up to forgiveness. Or to put it in terms of today's service of confirmation, the only way forward is to declare, I repent. I turn away from, I turn my back on my sins, I turn to Christ. So let me turn second to our gospel reading. Jesus has done something remarkable here, fed 5,000 people and more with 5 loaves and 2 fish, no less. They're excited and they go looking for him, wanting more. There's a great sense of expectancy. I hope today, as you come to be confirmed, you have a sense of expectancy. An expectancy that comes from being open to God's call on your life, how Jesus will work in your life. But before we come to Paul's letter to the Ephesians, let's first reflect on how Jesus responds to the expectations of the crowd. It's something Jesus takes seriously, very truly, I tell you. Poison indicator. Effectively, Jesus is rebuking them. Nathan rebuked David. Jesus is rebuking the crowd. Very truly, I tell you, you're looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it's on him that God the Father has set his seal. Behind Jesus' challenge to the crowds is the question, what do you really want? What are you really looking for? What does that mean for what you should be doing? Ultimately, what was this sign Jesus gave for? And also, what does it say about the person who performed the miracle? the Son of Man, the one on whom God the Father has set his seal. That is, the one who bears the mark of carrying God's authority, that says, this is the kind of thing that in Israel's scriptures God does. Baptism, the Eucharist, the sacraments which Christ gave to his church. I'm sure you've been through this with confirmation, outward physical signs, water, bread and wine, of an inward spiritual reality. Just as with the sacrament of the Eucharist, the sign, the miracle of the feeding, the bread and the fish that Jesus distributed to the crowd is meant to lead you to the true food, to lead the eye, the mind, the heart to the true gift of God to his people then and there, the food the Son of Man will give, the food which is Jesus himself. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. So Jessica, Elizabeth, Charles, Harriet, Anna and Winnie, you as much as each and every one of us here today, watching today, are to hear, to act on the demand Jesus is making of us. We may not have witnessed the miraculous feeding of the multitude. We may not want a king as such. Yet it's so easy for us in our consumer society to have a consumer faith. What can Jesus do for me, for us, for the church? Can Jesus solve the problems of COVID? Can Jesus solve the problems of my life? Jesus is saying, all that matters, work for the food that endures. That is, believe in him, trust in him, deepen your understanding, continue to open your heart to what that means fully. It's an ongoing commitment to that that Jesus is asking for here. The crowd still ask for a further sign. Maybe they're looking for something more obvious. And often we want those obvious signs. As then, so now, Jesus brings us back to himself to be confronted more deeply, maybe in a new way, to be open afresh to whom Jesus is and what he offers, to being open to understand more fully what Jesus really can do, wants to do. For you, for me, for those being confirmed today, for St. John's, for those who do not yet belong. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. And that's the basis on which we live out our calling. Our calling, part and parcel of which, according to Paul, to turn thirdly and finally to our epistle, part and parcel of which, as members of the body of Christ, each of us, each and every one of us has a part to play, a gift, a ministry to serve others with. And let me say, I'll be looking very much to hearing in the future how God is calling you in your life following his son Jesus. I have to say in this passage there's a lot of mixing of metaphors and I'm not going to go into it all, but the point is clear. God wants us, God wants you to be growing into maturity. God wants us to become more and more like Christ. God is the God of the maximum, not the minimum. God wants you to be the maximum Christian you can be. With that standard in mind, we're not to rest until we've attained it. In other words, as we grow in maturity, we will become what we already are, members of Christ's body. And as I come to confirm you now, I'll be praying for the strengthening of the Holy Spirit and the sevenfold gifting of the Holy Spirit. Listen out for that prayer, that you may stand in the truth of your life before God as you declare for yourself, I turn to Christ, I repent of my sins, and may you know the truth of Jesus' promise as you live lives worthy of the calling to which you have been called, that Jesus is the bread of life. Following him, you will never go hungry. Following him, believing in him,